on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Now the green light's switched on. Ready.
With the latest news, interviews and tips from kennels and courses around the country.
Fernando Bale came out of the machine, Hammond.
Welcome to Going Greyhounds.
And we certainly are from thedogs.com.au, Stuart Turner. Good morning, Stu.
Morning, Cosy. How are you going today, mate?
I'm fantastic. You got a big show lined up.
We certainly have. We'll be reflecting over the big races that we've had over the last couple of days across the country, and also looking in depth at the Grafton Winter Carnival, which comes up with the big finals night on Wednesday night. Mate, that should be an absolute ripper. Really looking forward to that. And look, as I said, let's have a think about and a reflection of the big races that we've had over these last few days. First of all, well done once again to Tony Brett for continuing his remarkable record in the Group 1 Garrard's Winter Cup. Tony taking that one out with Fast Times, who won last Thursday's final at Albion Park. Now, the Winter Cup, of course, one of the biggest races around, $75,000 to the winner. And gee, Tony, well, he just dominates this race. He's now won 5 of the last 7 editions. An absolutely great race, this one. If you didn't see it on the night and you still haven't seen it, check out the replay at thedogs.com.au. Fantastic win by Fast Times. Bubble Guppy, a valiant second. Ando's Mac in third. Fast Times now heading to Victoria, I believe, for this Saturday's Hudson Pacific Maturity Classic Heats. That's an age-restricted series over these coming 3 weeks. Gee, you've really got to earn that one. But look, that should be an absolute cracker. Fast Times, one to watch there. And Fast Times, of course, owned by former New South Wales star Terry Hill. So hopefully that's an omen for New South Wales in Origin on Wednesday. And speaking of congratulations, well done to Robbie Britton and Connections on an amazing win in the Group 2 Bendigo Cup last Friday night with Landmark. Now, what an amazing story this was. Landmark, only a second reserve originally for this race. He got a run when both Aussie Infrared and Black Mumbo scratched. He was still the rank outsider on the night, but even though he was in box one, but gee, he produced an absolutely fantastic run. Aston Bolero second and Aston DB third. Landmark trained by Robbie Britton alongside Brendan Purcell, an up-and-coming trainer who I think is one to keep an eye on. Landmark now being prepped for the Shepparton Cup in a couple of weeks. The Shepparton Cup heats, definitely a greyhound to keep an eye on there. Robbie could have a big week, of course. Remember, he's got Fanta Bale coming up in the Group 2 McKenna Memorial at Sandown Park. Look, it'll be really interesting to see how that greyhound goes. We're going to have a look at that race in a bit more detail in later on in the show. But first of all, let's have a look at the Grafton Winter Carnival. And coming up on Wednesday night, of course, it's the big feature finals night there. Really looking forward to this one. The big race there, of course, is the Taylor Family Clarence Valley Sheds, the maiden classic over the 407 metres. Super race, this one. And one trainer who's looking to go well in this is Bob Murillo, one of the locals, who's got Beau Calm Bear, the fastest qualifier in last week's heats, going in this one. And I think Bob is going to join us now. Bob, how are you going this morning?
I'm good, thanks.
Good stuff. Look, thanks for your time today and congratulations on making it through. How impressed were you with Beau Calm Bear's run last week? I thought that was a great effort.
It was a good run. It was a good run, but he did run up to his Stewart's trial on the Saturday previous, so it wasn't really a surprise.
I was going to touch on that. I remember he caught my eye when he went well in a Stewards trial at Lismore, I think back in December. Then he's been off the scene for a while, hasn't he? Is he a greyhound that you've had to be a bit patient with?
That wasn't Stewards trial. That was the heat of the maiden, the big race at Lismore.
Ah, right. I remember he flew round there and he caught my eye then, and he seemed to have a bit of promise. And yeah, you've had to be a bit patient with him, I think.
No, mate. What happened was after the run, I decided to give him a month off. And then I don't race December, January, unless I have to. The weather down here gets very hot. And then my wife and I went overseas, and by the time we come back, it was 6 months are up.
Oh, okay. So he's had a nice break, and looking, yeah, he moves.
There was nothing wrong with the dog at all.
Ah, oh, good stuff. Well, there certainly was nothing wrong with how he went last week. Look, he moves to box 8 this week. Is he capable of running a faster time from there, do you think?
Well, mate, normally as a really go straight anyway, so I don't really think. And if there's a bit of speed on the inside, that'll give him the run. He's not a real fast beginner. But when he finds his stride, he's got a good come-home time.
Well, let's hope he shows it on Wednesday. And I think you've broken one of your habits for this carnival. You normally decide to give the carnival a miss, even though you're one of the locals. So was it just that you thought he had a bit of potential, or what made you decide to have a crack at it this year?
He always showed something, even as a pup, when he broke into Johnny Martin's. Normal breaking time's about the 17 mark. He trialled 16:33 there.
Ah, good stuff. So he certainly seems to like the track there.
So he's always going to be a good dog.
Good stuff. And you're retired now, I think. I think you used to be a sales manager, but I think you got involved with greyhounds more than 40 years ago, so you certainly know your stuff. How did you get involved with the sport in the first place, mate?
My older brother bought a dog. After about a month, he got sick and tired of walking it, so I finished up with it. And then from there on, I just progressed. And when I moved to Queensland, I became on the committee at Capella Bar, on the committee at Lawton Dogs. So I've been involved with the dogs a fair bit.
Yeah, it sounds like they've been a big part of your life over the years. How much have you enjoyed it, and what have you got out of it?
I just enjoy it. It's my hobby. I'm not here to make any money, but it's my hobby.
And it sounds like you get a lot out of it. And you mentioned this a couple of moments ago. You've got an interesting training routine with your greyhounds. You give them a bit of a summer break, don't you? Why do you do that, and how does it benefit them?
I just don't like racing over the summer, over the December, January, because it gets very hot down here, Grafton.
So I just
turn them out and give them a break.
Yeah, well, it certainly seems to do them good. And, you mentioned this, that you are a Queenslander, but I think you saw the light and moved down to the Northern Rivers about 10 years ago. Will you be cheering for the Blues or the Maroons on Wednesday night in between races?
I'll be watching it for sure.
Oh, all right.
I'm still a Queensland supporter.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll let you off that one. We'll let you off that one, okay. Hey, look, and think as well, this would be your biggest win as a trainer on your local track as well. How much would this mean to you to get a win in this one?
I've had some really handy dogs over the years, and I've bred some really, really good dogs over the years, but he's such a placid dog, you wouldn't even know you got him in the kennel. He just sleeps all day, and when you get into the racetrack, he's a different dog altogether.
Well, it sounds like you do a fantastic job with him. Okay, I know a maiden race, anything can happen, but, mate, from box 8, you sound like you're pretty confident from this one.
Thanks, mate.
Hey, listen, thanks for your time today, and best of luck on Wednesday night, mate.
Thanks very much.
Let's just remind you of the box draw for this one. It is an absolutely super race. We've got Rostered On in box 1, Shevchenko in box 2, a greyhound who's caught my eye. And hopefully we'll be talking with Shevchenko's trainer, Ben George, in a couple of moments. We've got Shani in box 3, Bennett in box 4, Nangar Warrior in box 5, Cashman in 6, Nangar Dream in 7, and Bokan Bear, trained, of course, by Bob Murillo, who we just heard from then, going in box 8. The reserves are Star Trek Czar and Golden Nangar. Okay, let's press on with our preview of the Maiden Classic at Grafton on Wednesday. And we're going to have a chat now with Ben George, as I said, trainer of a greyhound who's caught my eye and I think could go well in the final on Wednesday, Shevchenko. Ben, thanks for your time today. How are you going today, mate?
Yeah, no worries, mate. How are you?
Absolutely fantastic. Hey, first of all, look, again, I thought that was a super run in the heats last week by Shevchenko. Not totally surprising because he trialled really well. That's where he caught my eye. But what did you make of that run last week?
I was pretty happy with it. Anything, if he can get me into the final, I was happy. So I thought his time was a little bit slower than I expected. But I was wrapped. It's actually only the fourth time he's been around a circle since he's been broken in.
Yeah, he had box 1, I think, last week. Moves to 2 this week. So you'd think on paper that should suit him. What was your reaction when you saw the draw?
Oh, I was pretty happy. If he begins like he has been and gets out in front, that's where you want him to be. So, if he can begin like he has been lately, I'll be wrapped.
And he won by, I think, 4 3/4 lengths, if I remember last week. So he certainly looks pretty strong. Do you think he'll be capable of going over further in a pretty short while?
A little bit early to tell, but I'm hoping so. Others in the litter have won over 500 metres. So, fingers crossed.
Yeah, I was going to touch on that. He's part of a super litter, isn't he? I think there's a couple of the others gone well. His dad was Fernando Bale, and his mum was Scissor Queen, who I think won 20 races up there at the Northern Rivers. And I think you own Scissor Queen as well, so it certainly looks a handy litter there.
Yeah, she's been a terrific producer. There's three in Victoria. One called Monster Fish, he's won that Sandown in 2980, I believe, which is going okay. And then Mark Giddings has a couple of the other two.
Yeah, they're certainly going well, aren't they?
Yeah. So far, so good. And there's also a bitch that's been going around Grafton. She's won a fair few races around there already as well, out of the litter. So, it's all looking good for this litter.
Mate, and a little bit about yourself. I think you're based up at Nunda in South Queensland, another Queenslander. How did you get into greyhounds in the first place? Because you're still quite a young guy, aren't you?
Oh, well, I don't feel it. I'm nearly 40.
That's young, mate. Don't worry about it. That's young on this show. Don't worry, mate.
No, Dad used to train a couple of greyhounds when I was in high school. And so, I sort of got into it then, just helping him out. And then I had a fair bit of a break. And then a few of the boys at work brought a bitch together, and that was Scissor Queen. And we went on from there.
You couldn't really have asked for a better start than that, I guess. And what is it about the greyhounds that you love so much? What got you hooked exactly?
The excitement of winning a race. And just the breed themselves. They're a lovely dog to be around. Very affectionate. And, they just bring a smile to your face.
And I believe you've only had your public trainer licence for a short while now, though. Is that right? Maybe about a year or so? How big a step was it to go from being an owner and a breeder to a trainer? Was it a hard decision for you?
No, it wasn't hard. It was hard to actually do it. So I'm lucky I've had some really good advice from some of the best trainers around the country. So they've helped me tremendously along the way in giving me some really good advice on how to go about it. So pretty grateful for all that sort of advice.
How did you sort of source the advice from them, and who's been able to help you, and how helpful and instrumental has that been in you having your success?
Jamie Ennis trained Sol's Ante for me. That was a Magic Sprite Scissor Queen dog, and he now stands at stud. But Jamie Ennis is one who's given me some terrific advice. Another one is another young gun in Victoria, Mark Giddings. And, there's been a few local trainers up here have also helped me out too.
Well, that's good stuff. And it sounds like you're learning pretty fast. And I believe you're an electrician by trade. So, gee, you must like your early mornings. How do you fit in greyhounds and work exactly? It must be pretty tough.
It is tough. Usually a 4 a.m. rise. But, that's all coming to an end shortly. So I'm moving to Victoria to get into the dogs full time. So I should be down there before. Around about the 20th of August.
I was going to touch on that actually. Yeah, I believe that you were moving south. It must be a busy time for you at the moment. How are you coping with that, and why did you decide to do that? Was it just because you wanted to further your career as a trainer?
Yeah, it's just something that I actually really, really enjoy and love, and I couldn't think of anything better than working with these animals every day. So my partner and I throwing the job away and diving in the deep end. So we've purchased the property 5 minutes out of Leongatha in Victoria. And, we're looking forward to the move and the challenge.
What a fantastic experience. Again, was that quite a big thing? You must have talked it over a bit. Was there anything that made you think, yes, we're going to go for this, we're going to have a crack at it?
Well, it's basically before we get too old to have a go at something else. And I think everyone should maybe once in their life take that leap of faith and if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. It's not the end of the world. So,
well, I'm sure you'll go absolutely fantastic, mate.
And yeah, looking forward to it.
And hey, look, again, as we discussed with Bob, these maiden finals are incredibly unpredictable. But look, the way he's been going so far, you must be really confident of this race from box two. How optimistic are you for Shevchenko?
Oh, touch wood, if he begins like he has been beginning, he's going to be pretty tough to beat. But in saying that, it's a pretty talented field, and I'm just happy to be in it. And if he runs well, I'll be happy. So yeah, fingers crossed.
And I guess, unfortunately, you'll probably be spending any winnings on maybe loading fees and travel expenses, unfortunately, won't you, over the coming weeks?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, it's not cheap to move everything down, but if we're lucky enough to win, that the money will certainly come in handy.
Good stuff. Hey, listen, thanks very much for your time. I hope you're smiling on Wednesday night, and all the best with the move. And I look forward to maybe chatting with you again in the future, mate. Sounds like you've got a bright future ahead.
Oh, thanks very much for that. Appreciate it.
Thanks for your time today, mate. So Ben George there, trainer of Shevchenko, who goes from box two in the big final at Grafton on Wednesday night. Really looking forward to that night of racing there. There's six feature finals. Should be an absolute cracker, all part of the Grafton Winter Carnival. Just a couple of things before we have a chat with our next trainer, of course. A couple of things to mark your card on. Well done to Donna Campbell, who took out the Richmond Riches, if I can say it right, short course final on Friday night with Big Black. Big Black winning that one with a super run from box two. Gee, Donna's having a fantastic run of success this year. Well done to her. And a couple of other things as well. If you missed it, either thought that Kong's win at Wentworth Park on Saturday was an absolutely fantastic effort. Keep an eye on that greyhound. Another greyhound who impressed me with her efforts over the weekend was Rockstar Stratus, who had a super win at Bull Eye. That greyhound, one to keep an eye on as well. And down in South Australia, On Fire, really aptly named greyhound, made it 11 wins in a row down there. That greyhound, absolutely line at the moment for his trainer Cameron Butcher. Again, if you missed those races, go to thedogs.com.au and check out the replay. Okay, let's have a chat now with our next trainer on the show, Darren Fisher. Now, Darren is involved with the Group 2 McKenna Memorial Final at Sandown Park this Thursday. What a big race this is. $40,000 to the winner. We had some terrific heats last week. No doubt in who most eyes will be on in the final, Fanta Bale, the brilliant Fanta Bale, who jumps from box three. She can take her prize money earnings to a tick more than $840,000 if she gets a win in this one. But I won't rule Darren's greyhound out. Cheese You Later, who was brilliant in the heats last week. And we've got Darren now. Darren, first of all, how are you feeling for the final, mate? Are you confident? How are your nerves at the moment?
Oh, no, everything's good, Stuart. There's no problems. Just like any other race.
Mate, look...
That's the way I treat it, so you just don't change anything.
Probably best. Look, again, congratulations on the win last week. I thought that was an absolutely super run. How delighted were you with that one?
Yeah, no, I was very happy with the win. I've only had the dog 6 weeks, you know, and he just seems to be improving every week, and his run the week before was quite good, and yeah, he was ridiculous odds, I thought, but anyway.
Yeah, I noticed that. It was about $20, which for a greyhound of his calibre, that was, I thought, a little bit juicy there. But he was in a strong field. He beat the likes of Shimmer Song, She's Got Grace, and I think Bewildering. So it was a really tough heat. Having beaten that field, how much optimism does that give you for the final?
Oh, look, he steps up another grade completely this week against dogs like Fanta Bale and Brooke Innes's dog, you know, that went six or seven lengths quicker than the rest of the field. So it's a completely different scenario this week to last week. But hopefully he'll equip himself well.
And mate, just take us back to that race as well. It must have been a roller coaster for you, because I think he was about fifth midway round, and then he just seemed to absolutely take off. What was it like watching it?
Oh, yeah. I thought he was going to run in the first two to qualify, you know, first two or three probably to qualify for next week. And then, he just made ground around up near the 595 boxes when they went past us again. I thought, he's a good chance, this dog, from here, because once he finds the fence, he doesn't get off and he just rails, just keeps railing through. And I suppose the hoop arm lure helps him, because he doesn't actually chase it. He just sits on the fence where other dogs sit out in the middle of the track, you know.
He's certainly a consistent greyhound as well. And Darren, for trainers in New South Wales who don't go down to Sandown Park, how tough is that 595 down there? I guess you've got to have a really strong greyhound to get wins there.
Yeah, it's pretty tough, but it all depends on the start, you know. Like, if you can get through in the first two or three, around that first bend at the 500-metre boxes, it takes a very strong greyhound like Fanta Bale and them, that if they're back in the field, to run them down. You know, once they're in the first two or three, it's very unlikely that dogs get run down, you know.
Yeah, I think it's regarded as pretty tough to win from wide draws at Sandown Park over the 595. So, geez, your latest got box two. So how helpful could that be?
Oh, it's a big help. It's a big help for him. As I say, he likes the fence. It's a big help for him. The dog he ran down last week's drawn the red. Have you got Fannabale drawn outside him that does begin at times? And then you've got the quickest heat winner drawn outside it, you know, that began well last week. But as you say, it's very hard to get across from them outside boxes when you've got a lot of pace up underneath you.
Let's just quickly remind people of the box draw for this one. We've got Shimmer Song in box one, Cheese You Later in box two, Fantabale in box three, Bella Shimmer in box four, who's going great at the moment for Jamie and Brooke Ennis, Midnight Elsa in box five, Zipping Hawk in box six, Dundee Osprey, who no doubt will be a big danger, the multiple group winner in box seven, and She's Got Grade in box eight, the reserves Alphatron, and She's Got Grace as well. Darren, you mentioned there Cheese You Later has only been in your kennel for a few weeks, but I think he's got 9 wins and 18 minor placings from 44 starts. He seems to be that consistent greyhound that you love to have in your kennels.
Yeah, look, he's consistent. I think the less travel he's doing now, because Graham that had him before, he was five hours to Sandown and 4 hours to the Meadows, and that only been, you know, hour and a half away from Sandown, depending on traffic, and you know, 50 minutes from the Meadows, it makes it a lot easier on the dogs travelling, and that's possibly helped him, you know, the turnaround in it a bit.
Well, you're doing a great job with him, and of course, your wife is Simone Fisher. Of course, we know from her work behind the microphone with Sky, obviously a familiar voice. Look, I'm always interested in couples involved with greyhounds. Your lives must be completely, I guess, surrounding them and completely around them. Does it ever get a bit much, you know, when it's 24/7? How do you sort of cope with that side of things?
Oh, look, we only have 28 kennels and we probably only have 28 dogs at any one time. You know, we have enough that we can cope with the workload and, you know, we're at the moment trying not to travel too much to the bush and just more or less concentrating on the city racing and that. And, you know, we work it out pretty well between us, the two of us.
I guess the flip side of that must be, it must be lovely to have something in common with somebody you love and you can bounce ideas off.
Oh, yeah, no, it works out all right. And don't worry, we have our arguments about things at times, like everybody, I suppose. So, you know, it works out all right.
I was going to say, is it a case like most things in marriage where you talk for 20 minutes and then you agree that she's right?
I agree a lot earlier than that. 5 minutes, there's no good getting on the wrong side of them.
I think you've got it right there. Okay, mate, let's get back to business and the final.
Yep.
On Thursday. So from box two, how confident are you? I think he's a decent outside chance, this one.
Oh, look, as I say, if he can begin in the first two or three, it really depends on a lot of dogs. As I say, Bella Shimmer begins, and you know, it's got 6 lengths on the rest of the field. Fannabale begins in the first two or three. Well, it wins the race. It's the strongest dog. And then you've got the Starwood Cup winner in Dundee Osprey that, you know, if there's any trouble inside, he'll scoot around the outside and you won't see the, you know, you won't see where he's gone either. So there's a lot of ifs and buts in the race, and like any race, I suppose, but it's just nice to be in it, and hopefully we're competitive enough.
And the fact that you're going up against Fantabale as well, I mean, gee, when you look at her and you look at her record, I mean, how scared are you by that one? She's obviously a wonderful talent, isn't she?
Oh, look, she's a great bitch, you know, and you know, they just come along once in a lifetime. Unfortunately, I haven't found one as good as her yet, but we'll keep searching. But, you know, like, just to see good dogs racing in good races and getting good finals, you know, that's what the industry's all about.
And how are you enjoying things at the moment? I mean, it must make it all the worthwhile when you have success and you get a few wins. But how much are you enjoying things? It's obviously been a rollercoaster ride for all trainers over these last couple of years. But, yeah, are you enjoying things at the moment?
Oh, yeah, you know, it's frustrating that all trainers got put in the same boat, you know, in the general public's eye. But, look, we're battling through it here in Victoria and we're doing our best. And, you know, you just head down, take no notice of anything else and just keep doing your job and, you know, success will come.
And just give us a heads up as well on a couple of your other pups who we might be able to keep an eye out on over the next couple of years. Are there any coming through at the moment who you really like or you think we should keep an eye on?
I really haven't got much else. You know, I've got just the consistent city dogs that are going around, nothing above average at the moment. I really haven't, and I really haven't got any young pups that are showing a lot at the moment in the kennels coming through. So outside Cheesier later making the group final, there's not a real lot there to brag about at the moment.
Ah, well, look, I hope you're celebrating. And just going back to him quickly, I think he stepped up to the middle distances pretty early in his career. He was running the 595 on his 12th start, so he's always been a pretty strong greyhound. I know he wasn't in your kennels, but he certainly looks like he's got that perfect strength.
Oh, look, he always looked like he was a dog with a lot of ability, you know. And I mentioned to Graham probably 3 months ago, you know, if he was interested in sending him to me, and at the time he wasn't. And then probably about 6 weeks ago, I got a phone call for him and asked me if I was still interested in taking him, which I said yes. And, well, it's worked out, you know, well for both of us at the moment.
Well, listen, all the best for Thursday. Is it just a bit of relaxing now for the next couple of days? You mentioned at the start you just treat this like any other week. So do you just sit back and relax, or what's your routine now?
Yeah, no, he just works along as normal. You know, I don't change anything. Hopefully he'll be back up to his normal racing weight this week. Once he changed kennels, he dropped away a bit with the workload and just changing things in general. But we put a 0.6 on him last week. Hopefully we get another 0.6 on him this week. He's back to his racing weight that he was at before I got him. And nothing will change this week. We just treat everything as a normal race. We don't do anything different. Make sure the dog's found, and which he is. And we just treat everything as normal.
Hey, listen, thanks very much for your time today, mate. I hope you're celebrating on Thursday night. It should be an absolutely cracking race. Really looking forward to it. And you have a good week. And as I said, hope you're smiling come Thursday night.
So do I, Stuart. Thanks for your time.
Cheers, Darren. Darren Fisher there, of course, trainer of Cheesier later, who goes in the McKenna Memorial on Thursday night. And, gee, that should be an absolutely cracking race. Fanta Bale, of course, from Box 3, one to keep an eye on there. But, look, it looks a pretty open field to me, that one. I would definitely not rule out Cheesier later. I'll be really looking forward to a great race there. OK, we're almost out of time, but just a couple of things to mark your card on here. If you haven't seen this one, just a note for the trainers. The nomination closing times are changing for some of the meetings over the coming racing season. It's just come into operation now. The nominations for TAB meetings held on Monday will now close at 9 a.m. The Thursday prior, and the nominations for TAB meetings held on Tuesday will close at 9 a.m. on the Friday beforehand. If you want all the details of that one, go to thedogs.com.au. And just a reminder as well on some of the big races that are coming up over the next couple of weeks, because, gee, it's an absolutely packed schedule. We've got, as we mentioned earlier, the Group 1 Hudson Pacific Maturity Classic kicking off on Saturday. Now, this is a three-week series, of course, and as I mentioned, Fast Times, the winner of the Winter Cup at Albion Park, definitely looks one of the greyhounds to keep an eye on in that series. Should be an absolute cracker. We've got the Fireball for the Stayers coming up as well, over the final of that one on July the 29th down at the Meadows. That should be an absolutely super race as well. And we've also got the Group 2 Shepperton Cup heats as well, getting underway on July the 24th. Landmark, the winner of the Bendigo Cup, will no doubt be a factor in that one. It'll be really interesting to see the likes of Strike Alight as well going there. And of course, we've got the Group 3 Darwin Cup. The heats of that one are on July the 31st. That one's always a super race up there in the NT. Again, should attract a super field. Really looking forward to that one. And finally, of course, on the horizon, the sprint and distance championships taking place across the country. Really looking forward to the New South Wales leg. It should be an absolutely cracking affair. Be a great chance to see the likes of Mr. Twister, who I'm sure will be a factor there as well. Maybe Falcon's Fury. I know he's had a bit of a break. It'll be fantastic to see him in action as well. So don't forget, you can check out all the fields form and expert picks for meetings across most of the country at thedogs.com.au. Check out news and previews as well. And of course, for all your markets, it's tab.com.au. Okay, I think we're just about out of time now. It looks again like it's going to be a fantastic day's racing. And Sean, it's back to you. And good luck to all trainers this week. It's no doubt going to be a great week's racing in New South Wales and across the country.